93 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Israel's military says ground troops have reached the gates of Gaza City. The IDF has released video of ground operations showing tanks and soldiers entering a neighborhood in the Gaza Strip. The BBC's Mohammed Taha.
The Israeli troops are advancing towards the heart of Gaza. The IDF are saying that they managed to cross the first defense line of Hamas fighters. On the contrary, Hamas are saying that they are fighting with Israeli troops and they managed to hit some Israeli armor.
It comes as Israel confirms it hit the Jabalia refugee camp for the second time this week, targeting a terrorist command center. Hamas reports nearly 200 civilians have been killed there. During a fundraiser in Minneapolis, President Biden called for a humanitarian pause in the fighting. He also said the U.S. is
working nonstop to get Americans out of Gaza as soon and as safely as possible.
Thousands more foreigners and injured Palestinians hope to cross into Egypt when the Rafah crossing opens for a second day. Here at home, embattled New York Congressman George Santos keeps his job for now.
The yeas are 179, the nays are 213.
Fellow Republicans in the House have voted not to expel Santos while criminal proceedings and an ethics investigation continue. Donald Trump Jr. will be back on the witness stand in New York City today in his family's civil fraud trial. CBS News legal analyst Jessica Levinson.
Part of what the judge is going to look at is if there is a finding of liability with respect to the other adult children, then what will they be prevented from doing in the future? Will they be prevented from serving as executives in businesses that are located in New York, for instance?
Texas takes it all.
He struck him out looking. It's over. It's over. The Rangers have won the World Series.
Rangers beating the Diamondbacks 5-0 in Game 5 on the Texas Rangers Radio Network. Fans, well, you can guess.
Is there hope? Are we actually going to get it done? And they did it. And I am just, I'm just in awe right now.
A Hall of Fame college basketball coach has died. Bobby Knight raised Indiana to the national top tier, but not without controversy. The Indy star, Zach Osterman.
He is among the most successful, if not the most successful coach in the history of Big Ten men's basketball. There were people who didn't care for his temper, for his methods, for his language.
Bobby Knight was 83. No cause of death given. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court is considering whether to hear a lawsuit to overturn the state's school choice program. WisPolitics reports conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley says the high court should have rejected the lawsuit. She says it's a policy matter for lawmakers to consider and not a matter for the courts. Chief Justice Annette Ziegler joined Bradley's dissent. Interested parties have until the 14th to weigh in. Open enrollment in the health insurance marketplace is underway. Democratic state lawmakers are reintroducing bills they say will make health care in Wisconsin better and more affordable. One bill would expand Badger Care eligibility for some people up to 133% of the federal poverty level. Another bill would create a Badger Care public option to buy health coverage on the state exchange. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
The Bucks fall to the Raptors. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Toronto Raptors were hitting shots from all over the floor on the way to a 113-111 win over the Milwaukee Bucks last night. The Bucks are now 500 with 2 wins and 2 losses. They host the New York Knicks tomorrow night. NFL Packers players react to the news that defensive back Rasul Douglas was traded at the deadline to Buffalo. Quarterback Jordan Love on trading the veteran for a third-round draft pick.
Yeah, I think everybody in the locker room was pretty surprised by it. It's tough. It hurts. Rasul was a key part of the team, great leader and a great player. So everyone hates to see him leave.
The Packers dealing with a four-game losing streak. They host the Rams on Sunday. General manager Brian Gutekunst took questions from the media and was asked, how does he think Jordan Love is doing so far at quarterback?
You know, we got 10 games left. These are going to be very important 10 games. And, you know, I think he's done a lot of really good things. Really like the way he's responded to the adversity, how he's led the team. Again, we got to be better as a unit.
That's the Packers' Brian Gutekunst. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Highs level off around 46 today under partly cloudy skies. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. 35 tonight, cloudy skies. Tomorrow, highs around 49. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh on the Civic Media Radio Network, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board, the fantastic Mr. Zommers, as a matter of fact. It is Wednesday, November 1st, I'm a day ahead of myself, 2024. Glad to have you along at 106 for hour number two of the big show.
Pump day!
Indeed it is, Wednesday. You say, well, Todd, what do you mean hour number two? Yes, we have changed time slots. We are now on noon until two each and every afternoon. We come right after the fine program of As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride. Right now, Jane Matinera and Greg Bach doing a great job filling in as guest hosts while Kristen is on maternity leave. Then us from noon until two. And then our friend Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn direct every afternoon from two until four. A great block midday here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And usually, speaking of things changing, usually on Wednesdays, Trigvi Olson, the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, joins us to talk politics, life, Packers, and anything else that's on his mind. But we flipped a little bit today, and he's on hour number two today. Trigvi, how the heck are you?
I'm fantastic, Todd. Yes. Although I'm sitting here looking, I'm looking at my reflection thinking, the beard's getting a little gray, Todd, and a little well, long.
Join the club.
But it is deer hunting. It's almost deer hunting. I think it is deer hunting season.
So. Archery, yeah.
Bow season.
Yeah, bow season bow, right now. Yeah, and then a couple of weeks will be gun deer season already. Mm-hmm. Incredible.
Yep, true. Most important to have a beard for that. Playoffs.
Do you
there's hockey not, playoffs.
There's, I was going to say, there's going to be no Packer playoffs this year. Come on. After last week, let's just start right there. Let's forget politics for a second and start with the Packers because I watched both the Wisconsin Badger game and the Packer game this weekend, this past weekend. And I'll tell you, after watching the Badgers, I see a glimmer of hope because this kid they got, the quarterback now, he's going to be there probably for the next 3 to 4 years, and he's really good. And if his receivers would have caught half his passes, Wisconsin could have won that game. Meanwhile,
they could have.
Meanwhile, the Packers looked pathetic.
They didn't look good. No. And the worst part for me growing up in Western Wisconsin, right? Like, I have all these friends who are Viking fans. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I usually use social media when the Packers beat the Vikings to be
snarky,
not the nicest person.
Yeah.
And I have some skills, you know, in snark because professionally,
right.
Kind of what I sometimes do. And the amount of grief I took coming the other way was pretty.
You brought it upon yourself, though, my friend. You got to be able to take it's as true, much as
but,
you give.
Honestly. In this age of political correctness, here's the thing that always kind of, and I'm being facetious here, always kind of bothers me, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I am a very proud Norwegian. Yes. My company's name is Viking Strategies. Yes. That's an ode to my heritage, mm-hmm. not my not my choice in football teams. And when they sit there and they do this, skull, 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 it drives me nuts. It's really, they should have to change their name. It's an insult to all Norwegians and people of Scandinavian heritage. It's demeaning.
So is LaFleur going to make it through the season?
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
Okay, I'm just asking.
Get rid of Matt LaFleur.
I'm just asking.
They're in a rebuild. They have $60 million in dead cap space because of Aaron the Mushroom Man Rodgers. So I'll tell you what. I mean, I forgive Brett Favre for his dalliance with the Vikings. I really do. But Aaron Rodgers, I was just done with that guy.
All right. Well, I just wanted to get your take on it before. As a Packer owner.
They're bad. Going with my daughters. I'm taking my daughters to Pittsburgh to see them. And unlike Vegas, I don't think I can pull a U2 or something. We're going to go to Pittsburgh. We're going to freeze. We're going to eat some brats in the parking lot, which will be fun. And then we're going to watch the Packers get throttled. Back to the 80s or 70s.
Let me give you a pro tip, my friend. Wear the same hoodie you have on now, your Wisconsin hoodie. Have your daughter wear her vintage Wisconsin letter jacket, and you might get one of the Watt brothers to come over and get their autograph.
I forgot about T.J. Watt.
And Derek, they're both there.
That's true.
Go for the Badger vibe, the Wisconsin vibe, and play up the Watt brothers.
I like it.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. And remember, I'm still salty at the Packers because T.J. Watt could have been a Green Bay Packer and they passed him over in the draft.
Right. Instead, we have Eric Stokes. That worked out well.
All right. Onward and upward to politics here, maybe downward spiral. I want to start with an old friend of ours. Well, not really. I actually met him once. Mike Huckabee. Who the heck was he with? It was, I think, in 1996 for Bob Dole, and they were making a trip around the country, and I met them in all places, Superior, Wisconsin. Mike Huckabee was campaigning for Bob Dole in Superior, Wisconsin. And at the time, he seemed like a reasonable guy. He's gone off the deep end now. Have you seen this? Mike Huckabee this week came out with a kid's guide to Donald Trump.
A kid's guide to Donald Trump?
I'm not making this up.
If I had to guess... You know, ignoring who wrote it, what a kid's guide to Donald Trump would be, it would be, this is a perfect example of how not to treat women. This is not how you should run a business because you'll be broke.
Well, here it is. You got this called the kid's guide. And it says, this is a direct quote. It says, help your kids learn the truth about President Trump and create America and celebrate America with this free patriotic gift bundle. I mean, this is like a thing out of SNL, honest to goodness.
And in time for Christmas, order your Donald Trump kids book now. And if you order today, we'll give you free coloring crayons in red, white, and blue, signed by Mike Huckabee himself. But wait, there's more. Order today, and Donald Trump Jr. will send a card via the mail to your child. For just in time for Christmas Day. Yeah, that's exactly what I want.
This is actually a page out of this guide of Trump being sworn in as president with Abraham Lincoln holding the Holy Bible and George Washington looking on. And it starts out by saying the mainstream media has been no friend to President Trump, and they'll never admit that he did a great job leading our country and making the changes America needs. And it goes on. I mean, is this the most preposterous, weird thing you've ever heard, Trigby?
Okay. No, it isn't. It isn't, Todd. Because I'll tell you what, there are lots of things about the Trump era as a conservative and former Republican that make me mad. But what probably irritates me, and part of the reason why I chose to go do the Lincoln Project and I chose to fight, was the fact that I went home knowing in 2016 that they had changed the vendor that basically made a small profit for yard signs to one out of Delaware that no one was quite sure who owned, but it was pretty obvious who owned it. And my buddies and I were sitting around talking, and one of them had forked out $50 $50
for a yard sign.
For a field sign.
Oh, field sign. All
and right. I thought that field sign costs $3.
Right.
And they're taking it both ways. They're taking the donation and they're taking the profit, which they're now selling to the RNC at three times the cost of what they did before or something. Right. Whatever the figure was. It's like they, and I thought, okay, my buddy is a good person who's concerned about America, and he's being completely hoodwinked by these people who don't really care about him. They're like false prophets.
Yeah, it's a complete sham and a complete grift. If you want to ask Trigby a question on politics or Packers or anything else, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. He joins us each and every Wednesday. Let's go to Jay in London across the pond. Jay, we always appreciate hearing from you. About a minute and a half here. What say you?
Hello, how are you?
Doing well, Jay. What's on your mind?
Oh, I just want to say I love my brother so much, okay?
Well, we appreciate that.
Hey, your previous segment, the fourth hour, what we were talking about, the University of Wisconsin, I think that's a great important point that you just said. I don't know how come somebody who is, people who belong to minority groups, how come they're not going to stand with the Jewish people in solidarity? What is that all about?
Well, it's probably a pot of coffee or a bottle of wine, but I mean, certainly, you know, Palestinian and Israeli issues have been going on for millennia here, right? And so this is nothing new. There's a lot of religion involved in it, but you know, for those who weren't listening last hour, we pointed out there was a protest over the weekend in front of or around Hillel House, the Jewish building that has represents over 4,000 Jewish students on campus, and there was a pro-Palestinian rally in front of it, protest. Madison police had to be called, and the campus puts out this kind of namby-pamby statement saying, well, you know, nobody got hurt, basically, was the reaction here. And my question was, if this had been a Ku Klux Klan rally in front of one of the predominantly black fraternity houses on Langdon, I think the response would have been very different.
Exactly.
So I appreciate you bringing it up, and I appreciate your comments, Jay. Always a pleasure to hear from you.
By the way, you and Aaron, you guys said you don't have trick or treat yesterday.
Well, I think I still have some. I have some Reese's peanut butter cups and Twix. That's what we had yesterday. But I did not go trick or treating.
I was saying to myself, yeah, you know what? Trick or treat is going to come for you people in the form of a perfect phone call.
I appreciate it. This is a treat.
There we go.
See, yes. It's a treat to hear from you. We appreciate that, Jay. Thank you so much. Have a great day over in London. Trigby, are your kids still old? Did they trick or treat you?
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
They cleaned house.
Did they?
But you know what? Share? When they come home, they get a life lesson. Dad applies a Halloween tax to them. So I get to go through their candy bags first and pull out what dad wants, because I think that's a good life learning lesson for them.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, they're getting smart now that one's in sixth grade and one's in eighth grade or ninth grade. Dad likes Milk Duds, because that's what I pull out. Do you know how many Milk Duds were in? And I mean, they had massive bags of candy. You know how many Milk Duds there were?
10.
One.
One, really?
One. Wow. One small box. So I had to go with Skittles, which I really don't like. And what I will point out about this, and I would say for any of our listeners who are parents, you should apply a Halloween tax.
I like that. 1% of Milk Duds in the bags around Washington, D.C. equal to the polling numbers for Mike Pence. We'll come back and talk about Mike Pence, who is certainly a dud as well. With Trigby Olson, don't go anywhere. Take your phone calls as well. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789.
The Shaw, WAUK.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens
or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because it's
Ben Orden.
Softly creeping.
Ben Orden.
Left its seeds while I was
Bueller.
Sleeping.
And the Bueller.
That was planted.
The clerk will now call the names of the members who did not answer the first call of the roll.
Within the sound of silence.
Ben Orden.
Welcome back to the
Ben Orden.
A plus, Aaron Sommers. Perhaps the best thing that's ever happened in this segment. Welcome back to the Todd All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Mr. Aaron Sommers, the quintessential professional engineer and producer, along with our friend Trigby Olson, senior advisor of the Lincoln Project. Boy, you put a request in, Trigby, and it happens.
All I'm going to say is, Ben, if you're listening, that's a radio spot right there.
For those who might not be aware.
Wow, that is good stuff. That right? was awesome.
For those who might not be aware, that was actual audio footage of the United States House of Representatives last week on the vote for Speaker of the House when Mike Johnson was elected. And Congressman Derek Van Orden took on a self-appointed trip to Israel. Not an official trip, not sanctioned by leadership. There are reports that his staff didn't even know, just left and missed not only a vote on the speaker, but also a vote on a resolution supporting Israel. And so anyway, Trigby said, you should put that behind.
How about that guy, though?
Yeah.
We should talk about, not Derek Van Odwin, but we should talk about Mike Johnson.
Right? I've got that down on my sheet.
Here's the thing that listeners should think about. If you have a daughter or a girlfriend, or you are the girlfriend, or you are the daughter.
If you're a woman.
You're the wife.
If you're a woman.
Oh, you're a woman. Or you're a man. What do you think about having a Speaker of the House who seems to be anti-birth control and thinks that, actually said at one point, we think it's our place to be in people's bedrooms? Like, think about that the next time you go to a CVS, if you're a college student, and not about what the stakes are in the next election. Or how about this? You have a family member who's part of the gay community. They're living their life as who they are. This is a guy who literally wants to criminalize them. Like, this guy, like, I don't know. I'm telling you, his Louisiana values, they're not Wisconsin values. They're not American values. Like, people need to understand that this guy is third in line to the president of the United States. He's the most powerful Republican in the country, and he is a radical Christian nationalist.
Explain for folks, Trigby, what we mean when we say Christian nationalist, because I've gone on my way to say, this is not your Lutheran church basement crowd that's doing a potluck. No. So explain what Christian nationalist means for people who don't understand or might not know.
It literally is the notion that an evangelical view and policy should be put in place to protect the nation. And that, for example, banning birth control is something that should be done. Banning abortion should be done. No 48-hour contraception, gay sex criminalized. Like, literally, we are going, it's so antithetical to what the United States is all about. And what's ironic is Mike Johnson's probably one of these guys who claims to carry the Constitution around in his pocket. It's literally using the power of the state to impose what their version, it isn't my Lutheran version of Christianity, their version of Christianity it's, on everyone else.
I would call it a bastardized version of Christianity, meaning that they've taken the Bible and selected particularly Old Testament passages to say that this now should be the law of the land, not the religious law of the land, not our church law, but the law of the land. I mean, as in what's legal and not legal constitutionally in the United States of America. And again, just a quick primer trivia for folks out there listening, the founders of this country did not create a singular religion, a national religion, strictly because they wanted the freedom of religion to be able to practice religion or not, quite frankly. And anybody could practice whatever religion they wanted. If they didn't want to, that's fine. They specifically carved out and said, we are not going to have a national religion.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you a story once, Todd, that might be enlightening for listeners. I was at the house. I was with somebody who was running for president. I was at the house of one of the most prominent evangelical organizers in the country. I don't want to say the person's name because people will know who this person is. But I'm at that house. And, you know, like I grew up going to Ezekiel Lutheran Church. I now go to Faith Lutheran Church, right? Like, you know, like my religion, is religion important to me? Yeah, I would say I'm a religious person, but I don't run around and spend a lot of time proselytizing to others. I just live my life, try and live it by those values. But I'm at this guy's house. And I'm standing in the food line and they know I'm working with this potential candidate. And this woman comes up to me and she asked me when I had been born again. And I kind of looked at her and I'm like, well, what do you mean? And she's like, well, when were you born again? And I said, well, I mean, I was baptized and confirmed at my church when I was, you know, a baby. But I never really have been born again because I didn't think I needed to be. Apparently that was the wrong answer. And she was incredibly intolerant of me. And I thought this kind of gets to the heart of it. Here I am, nice Lutheran boy from Wisconsin. And this lady, I'm tolerant that she's got different views, but she was completely intolerant to me because I didn't want to answer her question. And I just thought it's always perplexed me throughout my life.
Since
it happened.
And I think that's a great story to illustrate, Trigvi, because as someone who grew up in an evangelical Methodist church, that the whole point, if being born again and accepting Christ is a personal thing, but you don't then judge others. And in fact, the Bible actually teaches, if you want to get into a Bible lesson for a second, that you show love and compassion and that you, if you want to evangelize, you should do it in your actions and through love, not beating people over the head and condemning them. That's actually the job of Christ and God. It's completely...
And you know what? I'm going to give an analogy here. For those who are listening who are now married, or for those who are listening who are now parents, if you really think about it, you really didn't understand your parents and what it was like to be in a married relationship until you were married. You didn't understand before you dated somebody what it was like to be in a relationship. You really didn't understand what it was like to be a parent until you actually became a parent. And then you had a whole new set of insights that were informed about your own parents in each case. You can't, like, we have to get to a place in the United States where we stop judging people based on assumptions all the time. You don't know the journey that they've had to walk. And far too many of us are just judge.
Adam Kinzinger called Mike Johnson Jim Jordan in drag. Come back more after Trigvi after this. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Ready Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Israel says its ground troops have reached the gates of Gaza City after the IDF confirmed a second attack on the Jabalia refugee camp. CBS's Ian Lee.
From this position, we can hear artillery, we can hear warplanes, and in the distance in Gaza, you can see smoke from airstrikes.
President Biden calling for a humanitarian pause in the fighting as more injured Palestinians and foreigners line up at the Rafah crossing, hoping to be allowed into Egypt today. In Washington,
two-thirds not voting in the affirmative. The resolution is not adopted.
House Republicans vote against expelling embattled New York Congressman George Santos. The Rangers win the World Series, beating the D-backs 5-0 in Game 5. MVP Corey Seager.
You know, it's really awesome just to be able to celebrate with these guys. You know, they came to play every day. And to be as resilient as this team was, you know, this is just really, it's really great.
The victory parades tomorrow in Arlington. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. An inmate died at the Waupun State Prison on Monday. That's the third death at Waupun in 4 months. The Dodge County Medical Examiner says autopsy reports won't be ready for a couple of months. The Waupun Prison has been in lockdown since March. The Journal Sentinel reports about 1,000 inmates have to stay in their cells around the clock. Families say they're concerned about health care at the prison. Wisconsin Supreme Court Chief Justice Annette Ziegler delivered the annual State of the Judiciary Address in Lake Geneva on Wednesday. The veteran conservative justice didn't spend much time addressing her clashes with the court's new liberal majority. Chief Ziegler instead focused on improving court security and mental health treatment options for offenders. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Highs level off around 46 today under partly cloudy skies.
Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour.
35 tonight, cloudy skies. Tomorrow, highs around 49. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. The Shaw, WAUK. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show on these. Welcome back to this Todd Allball Show. You know who never calls this, Trigby? Our old buddy. Our old buddy, Scott Walker. I mean, he was your buddy. I mean, you went to Badger Boy State with him. But we've invited the former governor.
He was running for president of the United States then. Have I told you that?
I've heard that.
Honest to God. Come on, Scott. Give us a call. I know you've got people listening to the show because they call me up. They do call me up.
Do they really?
Scott's not happy about what... Yeah.
Well,
come on.
We welcome
debate us.
Yeah, we welcome not even debate, just have a discussion. Have a soda pop.
You know, civilized.
Yeah, civilized.
We can talk honestly, Scott, if you don't want to talk politics with us, we can talk about your tweet about why certain bands were in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and others weren't.
Sure. We could do that.
We could talk about your taste in music in the 80s.
The former governor.
I had long hair and was listening to this.
The former governor doesn't want to talk to us, but if you'd like to, we invite your calls and your questions for Trigby Olson. Like me, a former Republican, left the party like me and went on to bigger and better things, unlike me, in politics, and is now the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. Give us a call, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Who is calling us? It's Keith from Middleton. Keith, we appreciate you calling. Hang on the line with us. What say you on this Wednesday?
Good afternoon, guys. So this conversation I have about religion and politics is something that's right up my alley.
Yeah, Mike Johnson, new Speaker of the House we're talking about. Go ahead.
Right, exactly. So I was raised in a Lutheran home in Wisconsin. My father was a Lutheran minister. I'll be honest, I've never read the entire Bible, but I can tell you for certain that there are dozens upon dozens of passages that say, judge not, lest thee be judged, lest thou be judged. Let those without sin cast the first stone, et cetera, et cetera. And yet I can't find a single one in my memory that says, judge everyone else harsher than yourself, which is exactly what they're doing.
Totally agree, Keith. I appreciate you taking the time of calling. As a Lutheran and a pastor's kid, you nailed it. You nailed it. And I mean, what Mike Johnson is spewing forth, I mean, this just doesn't line up with the way I was raised as a Methodist. And Keith, it doesn't sound like the way that you were raised in a Lutheran home, your dad being a pastor.
Exactly. And, you know, to carry it one step further a little bit here, and this is going to be, I'm going to get into a little bit of the Israel and the Gaza Strip area. At some point, somebody is going to have to turn the other cheek. We cannot continue to... what's the word, eye for an eye, mm-hmm. and so forth. We can't continue that because all that's happening now is every time we bomb one of those cities in Gaza or Israel and we kill parents and we leave these children between two and 18 years of age live, they are now so angry and so defeated that they've fallen in with the Hamas groups, Hezbollah groups, because they become their family that they lost because of what we did. And every time we do this, we create more and more and more terrorists in the name of their religion versus our religion versus somebody else's religion. Somebody's got to turn the other cheek and say, you know what, enough's enough. Let's help these people rather than bombing them. Anyway.
Well, hey, I really appreciate the comments, Keith. Thank you so much.
Keith's point is so good. And what I would say, hopefully Keith's still listening. I was going to recommend a book, Jesus and John Wayne, which really walks through how we got to this place. I just got done reading it. Somebody had suggested it to me. Todd, you and Aaron would like it too, but it really does walk through it. He touches on a great point, though, Palestine and Israel, right? Like, Israel had to respond. You can't have a terrorist act like that without trying to hold accountable the people in Hamas. But to Key's point, at some point, they have to win hearts and minds, not just slaughter.
Sure, I spoke out last hour on calling for humanitarian relief. I mean, they're at the border between Egypt and Gaza. Apparently, there's some people trying or able to cross now. There's humanitarian relief going in. I think that, yes, Israel, and I think for the most part, they've tried their best to be diligent in the response. But as you know, Trigvi, Hamas uses women and children as shields, and we we read this clip from the spokesperson of Hamas here right before you came on last hour. This is a direct quote from Ghazi Ahmad, the Hamas spokesperson, who said within the last 40 hours, quote, "We will repeat the October 7th attack time and again until Israel is annihilated. We are the victims. Everything we do is justified," unquote. And yes, I am for a measured response. I am for trying to take, I think Keith's point is spot on. You don't want to create more hatred towards the West or towards Israel. But at some point, Israel has to take out, to put it in an analogy, a decayed tooth. You can't just let it fester and create more problems.
Totally agree. I think the Israeli response has to hopefully fully take into account both strategically the short term of eliminating Hamas's capacity to do what they did, and simultaneously not end up radicalizing far more people. And, you know, it's a little bit like it's different circumstances, right? Because Ukraine didn't attack Russia. But the similarity in that is the Russians are never going to win over the hearts and minds of Ukrainians after what they've done. And Israel has a fine line to walk between taking out Hamas and creating an environment where they're ending up with more people who are sympathetic to Hamas. Because right now, there's a lot of Palestinians, quite frankly, who probably don't like Hamas and what Hamas has wrought on them. And but it's hard for them to be sympathetic to the Israelis when the Israelis are dropping bombs on their kids.
I want to talk about Mike Johnson, the new Speaker of the House, and what he is doing in terms of saying he supports aid to Israel, but kind of putting a poison pill in this and also Ukraine. But I want to go back to the phones. Mark from the SAC has been waiting. 844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, appreciate you holding on, my friend. What say you?
Thanks for taking my call. But for Mike Johnson, he is ignorant of history or else just being duplicitist. Because the Treaty of Tripoli actually comes out and says, you know, John Adams says in that the United States is in no sense a Christian nation, pure and simple. And because that was a treaty approved by Congress, that means that's part of law. So, I mean, it's actually been stated in you know, toward the beginning of our republic that we are not a Christian nation. And for him to be coming out and saying this stuff is, if he actually supposedly, you know, that, okay, let's say he's a believer, but then he should not be bearing false witness against what the truth actually is, and that we are not a Christian nation. I mean, the Baptists were one of the groups that was most repressed in the colonial days, and they're one of the ones that were mostly for the separation of church and state, going both ways, that the government, you know, religion shouldn't be affecting the government, and I mean, the church should not have power over the government, and the government should not have power over the church. It's laid out pretty simply in our foundational documents. And for this reinvention of the founding fathers, of what they were, many of them were deists. I mean, Jefferson actually took the Bible and you know, came up with his Jefferson's Bible, where he took all the miracles of Jesus and just had his moral teachings in there. I mean, these guys are just it's evil. I mean, the evil in the name of God. And for Hamas terrorists, they're actually ignoring what I have read about what the prophet said on non-combatants are not supposed to be treated like that. And it actually has in there that you're not supposed to mutilate corpses. You're not supposed to murder women and children. You're supposed to be just going after combatants when you're in a state of war. And just because this is not, it's an irregular war, I do not think that it actually, that I'm not a Muslim, but I've read a little bit about it. And they certainly are ignoring, you know, the precepts of Islam when they're doing this kind of thing.
Right. Mark, I really appreciate the call. Mark from the SAC, always welcome, my friend. Trigby, lots of great points there. One of the things that, as Mark was kind of running through this, get your take on this. One of the things that I remember most after 9/11 was that then President George W. Bush made within the, I think, 24 hours, certainly 48, to come out publicly and say, look, people of the Muslim faith are not our enemy. They're our neighbors. And that the people that did this were a terrorist group, not representative of everyone. And I thought that was just an extraordinary moment because he could have politicized that and put fuel on the flames, and he didn't. And what we read last hour about these protests at UW Madison, again, whether you were pro-Israel or pro-Palestine, people need to realize that anti-Semitism and Islamophobia are both wrong, but show some respect to each other as Americans.
Yeah, I fully agree. I think the other piece about, you know, 9/11, and I think that's a really good perspective from which Americans to think about it and look about it. So a lot of 9/11 is the perspective of where you were. And I had friends who were in the Pentagon. I had a friend who was in the World Trade Center and they had an incredibly terrifying experience. But here's the thing. So your perspective matters a lot when these things happen. I happened to be in Vilnius, Lithuania when it happened, and I got a call from the ambassador that evening of 9/11 saying, you need to come up to the embassy and see what's happening. And I went up there, and there were thousands of Lithuanians lighting candles and flowers, and anyone who said they were an American was getting hugged. And when these kinds of acts happen, it's a small group of people committing acts of tremendous hate, right? Flying airplanes into building or beheading small children and shooting up civilians. But what we also tend to see after, in the aftermath of those acts of hate, is far more acts of love and compassion towards fellow man than the acts of hate that are occurring. But we always kind of give into our human instinct, which is to strike back. And in some cases we should, but we need to do a better job of using the sympathy and the desire of the better elements of mankind than focusing just on retribution.
About 2 minutes or 3 minutes before the break, I want to get your take on Mike Pence dropping out, and then we'll come back after the break. I want to take up this issue of Tommy Tuberville and the fact that the commandant of the Marine Corps, according to the New York Times, apparently had a heart attack over the weekend from being worked so hard and the atrocities there. But I want to start with Mike Pence politics. Trigvi, the Pencester dropped out. I said a combination with Pence dropping out and Mike Johnson's ascension to the speakership, for me, it truly marked the death of the Republican Party that you and I grew up with, and truly the birth of the MAGA party in America.
Well, I think it's been dead for a long time. I'm not sure that Mike Pence dropping out matters much at all. You know, Mike Pence is basically the guy at the bar, except he probably doesn't go to bars, but he's the guy at the bar sitting there saying, man, I had this boss and he was just trying to kill me. You know, Mike Pence, here's the one thing about Mike Pence. We're going to find out a lot more about Mike Pence, because is Mike Pence now going to be speaking the truth about Donald Trump finally that he's given up this aspiration? I'm not holding my breath. You know, I just think he was irrelevant to what was happening.
But like Scott Walker, he's always wanted to be president, number one. And I guess what I'm...
Well, they're big buddies.
Right. And what I'm saying is that the last sitting vice president couldn't even make it to the first primary or first caucus and ran out of money because he was hated by his own party for doing at least one good thing, which was his line was, I won't decertify the election. I will at least honor the will of the American people and uphold the election. And for that, he's been rebuked for all time.
For doing his constitutional duty, his job.
Right.
Right? Like, you know, it's hard for me to get a grip around these guys, Scott Walker being one of them, Mike Pence, Marco Rubio, like all these guys on Twitter who are tweeting Bible verses every day. Honestly, like, what is that, Todd?
Well, and again, to me, it's embracing, and I made this point earlier, Mike Pence, agree or disagree, he actually believed and tried to live, I believe, the things he said. Unlike Donald Trump, who is completely, he says it and completely doesn't live it. And yet the party embraces Trump.
Yeah, but Mike Pence embraced Trump too, in a way.
Not like Stormy Daniels. Back after this, don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allbowles Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
It's the final home game of the season for Carroll University football this Saturday, November 4th. The Pioneers will also celebrate Senior Day as the Big Blue of Milliken University visits the Schneid. You can catch all of the action live with Don and Johnny, pregame at 12:30, kickoff at 1. Carroll versus Milliken for the final home game this Saturday on the Shaw, WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, and the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock. That's 10 minutes away from Matt Flynn Direct, our friend and colleague. Always going to learn something, taking you to the front lines of history being made. Matt Flynn Direct coming up after the news at the top of the hour at 2 o'clock. Trigvi Olson joins us, the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. Like me, a former Republican, worked for people like John McCain, Mitch McConnell. Mitch making a lot of news this week, incidentally. We'll get to that in a second. But I want to get to this quickly. This is from Anya, one of our producers, our fine producers down in Waukesha. Speaking of Scott Walker, the former governor, and the fact that Trigvi went to Badger Boy State with Scotty Walker. Turns out Anya says, I went to Badger Girl State and had to deal with Scotty there. He was governor at the time and was forced to shake his hand. Later on, the girl who won our governorship went missing, like full-on Amber Alert, and we begged him to speak publicly about the disappearance because we had a bunch of photos of them together, and he refused to do anything. And obviously, does not favor Scott Walker. Apparently, the girl was found okay, thank goodness, but she says, but still. A little insightful, Trigvi.
That doesn't surprise me in the least.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't, having dealt with him when he was governor, doesn't surprise me either. Yeah. I want to get to this, and thanks, Anya, for sharing that the anecdote and that story. It gives good context to what we're talking about. I want to get to this because I know Matt Flynn's been talking about this, and he follows us, Trigvi. Senator Tommy Tuberville, Republican of Alabama who lives in Florida and has been blocking single-handedly because of Senate rules. You know these rules much better than I do. And that one senator can hold up nominations. Now, well over 300 nominations. There was a great piece yesterday by CNN. I'm not sure we have time to get into all of it right now. It's about 4 minutes long, and I don't want to take up all that time. But I'm going to give you the highlights of it real quick. That basically, the New York Times is reporting that the commandant of the Marine Corps, who was just confirmed because Tuberville let about three or four of these appointments through, had a heart attack over the weekend. And he had said to someone or in a text or an email, he said, this is unsustainable. Going to bed at 11:30 at night, closing my laptop and opening it up at 5 o'clock in the morning, 7 days a week, because we don't have the other people appointed or confirmed. I'm having to do triple duty. Then they went to put in the person who's basically the second in line as the acting commandant, but he hadn't been confirmed either because of Tuberville. And so now Tuberville apparently has relented and said that he will allow this one person to come through. But Trigvi, when you look at this, this is one of the most appalling things by anybody who tries to call themselves Republican I've ever seen.
Honestly, I think it's one of the most appalling things that any American has ever done that served in the United States Senate. See, I mean, it's ridiculous what Tommy Tuberville is doing. But, and, you know, Tommy Tuberville is the guy that Donald Trump was trying to call when he inadvertently got a hold of Mike Lee during the whole January 6th stuff. Like, I don't know. Who is Tommy Tuberville helping with this? I bet you if you talk to Tommy Tuberville, he'd go on and on about how China was a real threat and blah, blah, blah. Like, he's literally enabling the Chinese, the Russians, etc. Now, one rumor that's out there is that Tuberville is doing all of this with the hopes that when Trump becomes president, right, like he'll get to appoint all these people. and he can appoint loyalists. Maybe that's it. I don't know. Tommy Tuberville, if you listen to him talk, like, Auburn wasn't great when he was their coach, and he's not smart enough to live in the state where he represents. I just think he's a disaster. But people in Wisconsin should be outraged by this. One guy from Alabama is holding up everything for, you know.
And of course, he says the reason is it's because the military allows, you know, women to go across state lines to get abortions, which they did beforehand. And none of these appointments have anything to do with that. That's a political decision. And then, of course, the decision by President Biden to put the Space Force in Colorado versus Alabama, his state. Again, that is a political decision. None of these people, these confirmations that he's holding up on confirming them, have anything to do with this. Yet they are, Tuberville and the Republicans, and quite frankly, Trigvi, I'm going to call out the Democrats as well, because, correct me if I'm wrong, any member of the world's most exclusive club, the United States Senate, could go on the House floor and suspend the rules, make a motion to suspend the rules and put these on. Why are they so reticent, all of them, to let down our American military?
Because they love the power of being able to do that. They view that as one of the perks of being a United States senator, but Tuberville is taking advantage of it. But this is the question you have to really start to ask yourself. Like, we should all be asking. And Republicans used to do this to Democrats all the time, but why does MAGA hate the military so much? They clearly, Donald Trump and Tommy Tuberville and all these guys, John McCain wasn't a hero. That literally is what Donald Trump said. People forget that. Tommy Tuberville holding up all these military appointments. Why do MAGA hate the United States military? I'm not going to say Republicans, because it's not true of all Republicans. Certainly Mitch McConnell, if you know, is not one, and there's others who don't. But the reality is the bipartisan delegation, the Republicans who were in Ukraine. But why do MAGA hate the military?
And I'm going to bring it back to Derek Van Orden in the 3rd District, because this guy, of course, wasn't present for the vote for Mike Johnson, but he still said he supported him. Now it looks like Mike Johnson's getting ready to do an Israeli package with a poison pill, because he's putting these tax cuts in there to, quote unquote, pay for it, which you and I both know in Congress is not a thing. And he's also getting rid of the aid to Ukraine. You nailed it. Between Mike Johnson as Speaker of the House and Tommy Tuberville in the Senate, the two biggest winners, Trigvi, yes or no, are Vladimir Putin and the Chinese.
Yeah, Xi and Putin end up winning on this. But it gets back to the whole question. Why does Mike Johnson, you know, the aid to Ukraine, aid to the Israelis, better that they're fighting their own battles than us being dragged into them. Right? Where American soldiers are dying, the question you have to ask yourself is, why does Mike Johnson, why does Derek Van Orden by extension, and I know I'm going to get grief for this because he likes to wrap himself in his service, why does Tommy Tuberville, why did Donald Trump, why do they hate the American military?
Throw Scott Fitzgerald, a veteran in that as well, from Wisconsin. I mean, all these guys go to the 4th of July parades and literally, in some cases, wrap themselves in the flag. They love to brag about the military. But you know what? I was on one of our military bases in the state earlier this year. And off the record, some of them on the record, they're fed up with it because it's hurting our Wisconsin military right here in Wisconsin, Trigvi.
Yeah, I mean, this is who they are.
Yeah.
They want to be in your bedroom with Mike Control Your Johnson and Tommy Demean the Military Tuberville.
Trump's Johnson, more on him next week with Trigvi Olsen. Thank you so much, my friend. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week. Stay tuned. Matt Flynn is next. Don't go anywhere. Keep banging your drum.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself.
We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to the Shaw.
WAUK 5.5 Jackson. W266 CR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.